भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो. I believe it's 3 weeks from today, on the 28th of this month, which is the last day of the month, we will be honoring the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So, as it is customary, traditional in Radha Gopinath Mandir, is to spend the next few weeks glorifying, honoring, and describing Lord Chaitanya. So we will speak a little bit about the reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. These are both confidential and, what we say, not confidential. So there's some verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is from Adi Leela, chapter 4. And the chapter is entitled The Confidential Reasons for the Lord's Appearance. Lord Krishna appears in order to, for three reasons. He says, Yada yadahi dharmasya ganir bhavati bharatam abhutanam adharmasya trajatranam sujamiyaham pravitranaya sadunam vinasanaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanatayam sambhavem bhami yuge yuge. He appears whenever there is a decline in religious principles and a parallel rise in, we say, irreligion. And he also appears to give pleasure to his devotees. So Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That actually Radha and Krishna are one, eternally. But they have separated to become two to enjoy transcendental pastimes. But again, that same Radha and Krishna have become one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The identity of Lord Chaitanya is very mysterious and very difficult to understand. He is Krishna, no doubt, but he is in the mood or sentiment of his devotee. He is honored as a devotee of the Lord, and to see the Lord as the enjoyer, rather than in the position of enjoyed, in this case, is a discretion in religious principles. So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes there are six reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Three are called external, and three are called internal. Three relate to the Dharma, the Yuga Dharma, or the propagation of the means for self-realization in this age, which is the chanting of the holy name. But Lord Chaitanya actually comes to fulfill his own internal mood of loving devotion. Here, there's one verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, just as the desires are fundamental reasons for Krishna's appearance, that is, Yuga Dharma, he comes. If Krishna appears through destroying the demons, it is only incidental, or what you say, might say secondary. So for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, promulgating the Dharma of the age is incidental. When the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for propagating the religion of the age arose at once. In other words, the Lord appeared in this age not primarily to bring Yuga Dharma. That was secondary. His main reason for coming was to fulfill his own desire to enjoy transcendental pastimes in the mood of his devotee. Lord Chaitanya is God, and God knows everything. But one thing, it apparently says that one day, or one incident where Krishna was in Dwarka with Rukmini Devi, his primary queen. This is described in Chaitanya Mangala, one of the biographies of Lord Chaitanya. And Rukmini was massaging his feet. And while she was massaging his feet, she was overwhelmed with love, devotion, and transcendental emotion. And her transcendental emotion expressed itself by saying, "You don't know how wonderful your lotus feet are." And she was saying it over and over again in her loving devotion. Lord Krishna became curious by her statements, thinking, "I don't know how wonderful my lotus feet are." She went on to say that there's only one person in existence who knows how wonderful that you are, and that is Srimati Radharani. So becoming curious to find out what was Radharani's love for him, he took the role of Lord Chaitanya. So these are the internal reasons. Three things. To taste her position in the role of a devotee. Not as the role of the enjoyer, but as the role of one who is being enjoyed. Lord Chaitanya's internal mood is that he is in the mood of a devotee who is tasting love for Krishna, although he's Krishna himself. Pretty interesting. Very difficult to, what we say, calculate. How can someone taste something that is not about them, which is about them, simultaneously? God can, what we say, juggle contradictions and make contradictions uncontradictions. He's trying to taste the position of Radharani's love for him. He wants to taste the sweetness of her love. What is she actually experiencing? And that happiness that comes from that love. So in that way, there's three reasons. What is it about him that attracts her mentality? What is the happiness she's experiencing? And what is the nature of her love? Three things. So when the Lord Chaitanya appeared, he appeared for the internal reasons. The external reasons happened to come simultaneously with his desire to appear. It almost sounds like it was coincidental, as it says here. It says, when the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for promulgating the religion of the apes also arose. So we know the story as Advaitacharya, who was Mahavishnu himself. He appeared in Navadvip before Lord Chaitanya. He appeared 52 years before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, he was one of few, but a leader amongst the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas were in small minority, very small minority at that time in Navadvip. And so, he was concerned that people, although quite educated materially and also practicing some spirituality, hardly anyone was engaged in any kind of devotional service. We find even today most people who take up religious sentiments do for material gain in order to increase their material situation, for good health, good wealth, good position, good family arrangements. The list goes on and on. Why people want to worship God in order to increase their situation in the world. And that is quite common. But actually, real spirituality or real religious principles are transcendental to all mundane and material considerations. And the reason for worshiping God is to know God and develop love for God, as opposed to trying to see God as a supplier of one's needs. So at that time in Navadvip, there was this very strong element that people were worshiping the Lord for material reasons, and also worshiping what we say the devatas, who are agents of the Lord, who are in a position to fulfill material desires through various types of worship. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, these when Lord Advaita was seeing this, he was becoming a little concerned. Now, why aren't people really taking up real religion? So he actually became angry, thinking, what if people are wasting their lives in material pursuits? They should be engaged in devotion to the Lord. So he was thinking that, I am Mahavishnu, I have the power to destroy the universe. He actually said, I should destroy all these people. But then he thought, no, let me call the Supreme Lord himself. It's only his job that he can, what we say, bring about true dharma, and people will become attractive. So he went down to the banks of the Ganges River, and he worshipped the Lord in the form of the Shalagram Shila, with tulsi leaves and sandalwood paste, and with great praying, calling out from the core of his heart, praying to the Lord, please come and save all these people. And he was doing that regularly. It went on for some time. And actually, Lord Chaitanya, after he appeared, he said, I have come because of the cause of Advaita, the loud calling of Advaitacharya, he said. Because he was concerned. Well, Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu, but he's also a combination of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. Shiva is always concerned about the upliftment of people in general. So in that mood of Shiva as a compassionate one, he was praying for Lord Chaitanya to come. And the Lord came. So in order to spread the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The Lord came. So he came, the three external reasons, is the cause of Advaita, the propagation of the Yuga Dharma, and to remove irreligion from the world. The three internal reasons was to taste the mood of Radharani's love, to experience her position and her mentality and her happiness. So from that point of view, this is the prayer, this is the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appears once in every, what we say, 1,000 yuga cycles. There are four yugas. There are Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Tapura Yuga, and Kali Yuga. Taken together, the yugas are 4,320,000 years. That's how many, the four yugas together. So if you times that by 100, that's 4,320,000,000 years that Lord Chaitanya appears. So he appears not very often. So it just so happens we are fortunate. He has appeared just recently in this age. In the other Kali Yugas, the Lord is a Gaur Narayan. Gaur Narayan is that he is the Supreme Lord Narayan, and he teaches Vaikuntha. One can worship the law in awe and reverence and attain to the Vaikuntha realm. But only in Kali Yuga can one get the opportunity to reach Goloka Vrindavan. Because Krishna comes at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, and Lord Chaitanya comes at the beginning of Kali Yuga. So there's only about 4,500 years difference between the two appearances. Krishna comes at the end of Dwapara Yuga in this cycle, and also Lord Chaitanya comes in 500 years in the beginning of Kali Yuga. So it's a rare opportunity. So Lord Chaitanya is, you say, he is Chana Avatar. Another name for Lord Chaitanya is Chana. Chana means hidden. He doesn't come as the Supreme Lord. He comes as a devotee of himself in order to teach what is devotional service in this age, centered around chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In every age, there is a means for self-realization. But in this age, the chanting of the holy name remains prominent. In this age, it's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Upadritaha, that people are not spiritually qualified. They're lazy, unlucky, misguided, and always disturbed, and always like to fight. Everyone fights with everybody, right? Family members fight with family members, friends fight with friends, countrymen fight with countrymen, countrymen fight with other countrymen. People are always fighting. There's always a quarrel. There's always a quarrel somewhere, right? Everywhere. And there's always, if there's no reason to quarrel, someone will come up with a reason. This is Kali Yuga. What did you say? I didn't say it. Yes, I heard. You said it. So there's always fighting. Right? Sometimes we talk about a new devotee. He's called neophyte. Neophyte. So people like to fight. This is the age of quarrel, age of dissension, hypocrisy. Somebody who doesn't have any qualifications is considered a great man, right? He's worshipped as somebody very, glorious. Somebody can dance like a dog on television, he gets an Emmy Award, right? Some kind of award, right? He can tell some sarcastic jokes, or he can make people laugh by criticizing somebody else. Whatever. You know, this is Kali Yuga. It says mediocrity will be seen as, what we say, elevation, great qualities. Yeah. And this is therefore, when we look at the age, we find, just like if you even compare the demons nowadays, what are the demons? They're just like little insects running around making, you know, some kind of legislation, right? But in big years ago, what kind of demons we had? Ravana, Kumbhakarna, you know, Shalva, Hiranyakashipu. I mean, the list goes on. Powerful demons, Ritasura, so many demons who had such great powers, they could challenge the devas to a fight. And many times they would win. So, but what are the demons now? They're just like little insects, right? Make some noise here and there, throw a few bombs and run. They walk around, probably say they have suit and tie, they look like nice people. So everything is, what we say, Kali Yuga means everything goes down. Bodily strength goes down, mercy, mercifulness, kindness towards others go down, longevity of life is reduced. What else is reduced? Mercy, long life. Intelligence is reduced. And ability to follow religious principles is very much reduced in this age. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya has given a process which is pretty simple and easy. One should just chant the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But the holy Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not just a simple prayer of a few names strung together. It's actually the means for glorification in the Lord in this age. The Lord has invested all his power in that name of Krishna. Nija Sarva Shaktis, Nam Nam Akardhi Bahuda, Nija Sarva Shaktis. Within the holy name of Krishna, everything is there. His names, his forms, his qualities, his pastimes, his entourage. The holy name reveals the entire spiritual world and all the qualities of Krishna. And it reveals everything. But therefore, it appears to be a very simple practice. And Lord Chaitanya made it easy. He just said, chant Hare Krishna. What is the requirement? There's no requirements. One doesn't have to have great intelligence. One doesn't have to have a good family birth. One doesn't have to have anything. All you have to have is a tongue and two ears so you can hear what you're saying. That's about it. It's so simple and so easy. But yet, although it's simple and easy, people really don't take it up seriously. This is Lord Chaitanya. He's made the highest realm available to everyone by a simple process, chanting the holy names of the Lord. One might think, well, what is this chanting? Well, the chanting actually is a purification of the heart. Lord Chaitanya, although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he didn't write much. Sometimes you see great avatars or the Lord comes and they actually leave behind such much doctrines and much scriptures. But Lord Chaitanya wrote 8 verses, that's all. They're called Shik Shastikam. Shik means instructions and Astikam means 8. 8 instructions, which are the embodiment of the whole process of pure devotional service. In the first verse of the Shik Shastikam prayers, the Lord describes what are the benefits of chanting Hare Krishna in order to inspire us to take up the chanting. He says, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. The first thing he says, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. Chaito means mind, Darpanam means mirror, Marjanam means the cleanse. The mind is like a mirror. It reflects inside what's outside. Just like we see the world according to our consciousness, and consciousness is formulated according to our desires and our association. So although there are many people, everyone sees the world differently. It's not like everyone thinks, why doesn't everybody see it the way I see it? Well, they just don't, because people have different consciousness, and therefore by conditioning and by association and even by education, one's perception of external reality is either extraordinarily different or just slightly different, but there's always differences. Therefore, the mind is called a mirror, and it's like a reflecting. And so therefore, what is inside is reflected outside. It's like, if you're unhappy, everybody looks unhappy. If you're happy, everybody looks happy. It's like they say, if you're happy, the whole world dances, right? But if you're unhappy, the whole world is like a dreary void, right? So what is reality? Reality is subjective, not objective. So to come to the objective reality, there is an objective reality, one has to remove the subjective contaminations. And this is the process of chanting the holy name. It's like cleaning a mirror. As the dust is removed from the mirror, the reflecting power of the mirror will still reflect, but it won't reflect one's material consciousness, it'll reflect the nature of the soul. The soul becomes, clear, or the soul becomes uncovered from material consciousness through the chanting of the holy name. And when the soul becomes purified or cleansed of material dirt, it could see itself as spirit, it can see the Lord as the Supreme Lord, and it can see the material energy as simply the Lord's energy, and see all living beings within it as Krishna's part and parcel. So this is the Lord. This is the first of the 7 benedictions mentioned in the Chaitanya Shikshastikam, the first prayer. So one should chant the holy names of the Lord and purify the consciousness. The second is Chaito Darpana Bhava Maha Dervagni Nirvapanam. Bhava Maha, this material world, Dervagniam, is like a blazing fire. There is birth, death, disease, old age, miseries of the mind, miseries of the body, and miseries of higher powers. One cannot escape the material miseries. And this is what we say intrinsic or innate within this material energy. But by chanting of the holy names of the Lord, one can, what we say, insulate oneself and protect oneself from the effects of the material miseries. Whereas when one becomes purified in chanting, all material miseries are gone. That is called liberation. So miseries come by way of having a material body, but one transcends the material body through the chanting of the holy name, and one is free from miseries. You can't get away from miseries. People try to adjust the material energy in such a way as to make it work nicely for them, but it's not possible to adjust something that you don't have control over. Krishna is the controller of the material energy, and it works under his direction, mayadakshena prakriti. So by great intelligence, just like Ravana wanted to create a staircase where you can go to heaven, right? He wanted to build some kind of, you know, physical structure where he could just bring people to the heavenly planets, but he couldn't do it. You know, so you can't simply use your power or intelligence to, when we say, extricate oneself from the sufferings of material energy. All you can do is take shelter of a higher energy and then be freed from the lower energy, which is the cause of the miseries. Therefore, this material energy is called like a blazing fire. One cannot free themselves from it. Birth, death, disease, and old age. You get out of one, if you somehow reduce disease, you still have to get old. And old, and people don't like to get old, because old means, you know, pretty soon I have to leave. Time's up. And then there comes death, and, you know, it's not like everyone looks forward to death. Nobody does. And in Bengali, say, what is the worst thing? Death. Why? Because it takes away all your programs. So, therefore, all these things are part of the material energy. And one is, it's like you come here and you get a package already. This is the material energy. It's not like you made the program and now you're stuck with it. You had nothing to do with it, right? You've been placed in this material energy for some reason, and therefore you're subjected to what we say the activities of the material energy. But there is another energy. It's Daivi Prakriti, spiritual energy. That is our nature. The soul is part of the spiritual energy. So when the soul raises its consciousness up to the spiritual energy, it frees itself from the effects of the material energy. How is it done? Through devotional service, beginning by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Lord Chaitanya is giving gradually. Chaito Darpana Marjanam, cleanse the mind and heart. Bhavama, push back the fire material. Shreya Kaiva Vichandrika Vitaranam is the third benediction. Shreya means auspicious. Kairava is a lotus flower. Now this lotus flower is a special lotus flower. It's not an ordinary lotus flower. Most lotus flowers grow under the rays of the sun. The sun is the nourishing of the lotus flower. This lotus flower gets its energy and life from the moon. So the holy name is like the cooling moon rays that shines upon the lotus of one's heart and awakens what we call one's good fortune. The lotus also symbolizes one's good fortune. Everyone has good fortune. It's like a hidden treasure. How to uncover the hidden treasure is through the mercy of the Lord coming through the holy name. So when one chants the holy name of the Lord, one good fortune becomes aroused or awakened and is compared to the moon rays which are cooling upon the lotus of one's heart. Very poetic, but this is Lord Chaitanya's description of how one comes to one's good fortune. So you should know when you come to the process of chanting the holy name, you have come to your good fortune. Because by this fortune, you have achieved all other fortunes. The holy name is everything. So that is the third benediction. Shreya Kaivava Chandrika. Chandrika means moon. Vitaranam. The fourth benediction is Vidya Vadu Jivanam. Vidya means knowledge. Vadu means wife or bride. And Jivanam means life. Now, imagine a wedding ceremony. Okay. There's a bride. So the bride, she's happy. Why? Because she has a husband, or she's getting a husband. Now she's excited. The husband is coming. Okay. So she's becoming, what we say, lively or happy. So vidya, knowledge, is like the bride of devotion. When devotion hits knowledge, knowledge becomes happy, or not happy, but awakened. So transcendental knowledge is like a bride who comes in contact with the husband, which is devotion to the Lord, or the holy name of the Lord. So when the holy name comes, whatever knowledge we have, that knowledge becomes, what we say, expanded. Just like you'll see a lot of religious groups, or some spiritual groups, they sit and they have Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada for like so many hours, or people are finally get tired. But what do? We do kirtan. Well, there's some Prabhupada, some knowledge is there. This is important. But kirtan is life. Through kirtan, we can really experience the joy of Krishna consciousness. But transcendental knowledge is important in order to give us an understanding of what we're doing, the process and how it works and how to practice it. So we do that. Knowledge is there. Do we have scriptures? There's so many important aspects to understand. But actually, the happiness comes through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So transcendental knowledge becomes awakened in the presence of the holy name, just as a bride becomes enlivened in the presence of the bridegroom. Fourth benediction. Fifth benediction, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Ananda, bliss. Buddhi, great. Vardhanam, ocean. The happiness that one can achieve from chanting of the holy name is like an unlimited ocean. Now, oceans don't get bigger. You can't make an ocean bigger. You can throw 1 billion buckets of water in the ocean and it still looks the same. Doesn't get any bigger. You can take 1 billion buckets of water out and it looks the same. Oceans are just, they're oceans. They're mammoth. They're deep. They're great. But the holy name is like an unlimited expanding ocean. So the jiva, us, the living entity, we're small. We're tiny. We're like a little fragment of Krishna. But when we come in contact with Krishna through the chanting of the holy names, our happiness is expanding like an unlimited ocean. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Unlimited. Give you an example. Radharani's there. Krishna's there. Nice little example. So Krishna looks at Radharani and he sees how beautiful she looks. And by seeing her beauty, he becomes happy. And then Radharani looks at Krishna, and she sees Krishna, how happy he's become. And she becomes happy, and therefore she becomes more beautiful. And Krishna looks at Radharani and sees that Radharani has become more beautiful. He becomes more happy, and therefore he becomes more beautiful. And then Radharani looks at Krishna and sees that he's become more beautiful. Therefore, she becomes more happy, and therefore she becomes more beautiful. And then Krishna looks at Radharani and said, "Wow, she's become really beautiful. He becomes more happy. Therefore, he becomes more beautiful." And it just keeps going. This is transcendence. It's never ending. Transcendental beauty, transcendental happiness is like an unlimited ocean. You can't put it within a limited description. This is your level of happiness. It just keeps going. So the jiva, though small, in contact with Vibhu, great, also becomes unlimitedly happy. So try to measure transcendental happiness. It's like trying to measure an unlimited ocean. It's not possible. Everyone's looking for happiness, and happiness is found in Krishna's name, really. The holy name contains the embodiment of all transcendental. It's not happiness. Happiness is a small word. It's actually bliss. But bliss is even a small word. It's ecstasy. It's not only ecstasy, it's more, it's madness. One becomes mad with happiness by chanting the holy name. It's possible. If you've been to some kirtan, sometimes you see devotees are mad. Sometimes we're not really mad, but sometimes we are mad. That madness is the holy name just working on the heart and mind and just awakening that unlimited ocean that is already there but not experienced. So unlimited ocean of transcendental happiness. That's the fifth benediction. The sixth benediction is Pratipadam Purnamrita Swardhanam. Who are you in the spiritual world? You have an identity. You have a position. You have a spiritual body. This material body is covering our spiritual body. The material body has form. The spiritual body also has form. That spiritual body is full of ecstasy, eternality, and transcendental knowledge. So we have an identity. As we have a material identity, we also have a spiritual identity. Spirit is not just some, what we say, homogeneous energy that just merges. No, each soul is an individual, and each soul has a loving relationship with the Lord in a particular mood, in a particular, what we say, we use the word rasa, or transcendental relationship. Now, who are you? We don't know. To uncover that identity is done through the holy name. Therefore, at one point in chanting of the holy name also reveals one's transcendental identity. Pratipadam Purnamrita Swardhanam. At every step, one is gaining more and more transcendental knowledge. Up to the point of understanding one's spiritual identity like that. When you understand your spiritual identity, of course, this stage of spiritual realization is a high stage. It's not a small stage. But that stage is available through chanting the holy names of the Lord. And that's the sixth benediction. And the last one that Lord Chaitanya says, Sarvatma Snaparam. Sarvatma Snapa. Snaparam is like a bath. It's a snan, like a bath. And it bathes us inside, outside. Nothing is left out. One's home, one's family, everything becomes purified in one's life through the chanting of the holy name. It's not like the holy name just relates to our spiritual aspect of our existence. No, everything becomes purified. Everything. Everything in relationship to our existence becomes purified. Even your family members, even if they don't chant, if you chant, they get the benefit of your chanting. So the holy name is, what we say, complete and perfect. And it's the means for self-realization in it. So Lord Chaitanya says, Harinam Sankirtan, Chaito Darpana Marchanam, Bhava Mahadirvagni Nirvapanam, Shreya Kaiva Vichendrika Vitaranam, Vidya Vadu Jivanam Anandam Budhi Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrita Smardhanam Sarvatma Snaparam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Dun ta 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 dun. It's an announcement. It's not just a dry statement. It's a glorification of the holy name. It's like a great symphony. Those of you who like symphonic music, it's a great symphony. it's like a declaration. Lord Chaitanya is declaring the glories of the holy name through this verse. But then he goes on to speak the second verse. He says, Nam nam akardi bahuda nija sarvasha. My dear Lord, your holy name is everything. There's no rules for chanting. There's no regulations for chanting. There's no, what we say, qualifications for chanting. And not only that, you have so many names, hundreds and millions of names. And each of these names have your transcendental energies and qualities found within the name. But he ends the verse by saying, I'm unfortunate. He says, Durdaivam, I'm unfortunate. Why am I unfortunate? I don't have any attraction for chanting. Lord Chaitanya is taking the position of us and saying, the glory. He expounds all the glories of the holy name, and then he says, I don't have any attraction for it. Why? Why doesn't there any attraction for it? Everything is there. It's glorious. There's no rules, no regulations. It's so simple. Anyone can do it. A child can do it. Even we have an example of some dogs were chanting Hare Krishna. So chanting is just so readily available and so powerful. Yet he says, Durdaivam. I don't have any. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his analyzation or his critique on this prayer, he says, Lord Chaitanya is saying, the reason I don't have any attraction for that is that when I chant, I commit offenses. Amen. Commit offenses. So we have to, when we chant japa especially, there are offenses to avoid. And the 11th offense, there's 10 offenses we recite, but the 11th offense is to chant the holy name inattentively. To not keep the mind focused, to the mind becomes diverted during the process of meditation on the holy name. Of course, the mind is restless. It's called chanchala. Krishna says, chanchala himana Krishna balavad pramati dridha tasyahammigumanyanye vayur idam sarduskaram. It's very difficult. Arjuna is speaking this word. He said, Arjuna is speaking to Krishna. He says, you're trying to ask me to control the mind, and I think it's trying to like control the wind. The mind is so restless. So going this way and that way, that's the nature of the mind. Just like I'm giving a lecture and sometimes you're still thinking of other things, right? But that's the way the mind is. It just goes wherever it goes, you know. And you never know where it's going to go. And sometimes you don't want it to go where it goes, you know. It goes in the craziest places. But that's the nature of the mind. It's so difficult to keep it controlled. Therefore, Krishna says, practice. Practice. Therefore, one has to practice this chanting regularly and practice concentrating on the sound. To chant means to hear the sound vibration of Krishna's name. Japa, meditation. It's actually a meditation on Krishna's name. It's not just a chant. It's actually what we say, meditation. People like, well, let's meditate. And there's different forms of meditation. But to meditate on a person is the way to meditate, to meditate on Krishna. And the meditation on Krishna recommended in this age is through his name. So when you're meditating on Krishna's name, you're meditating on Krishna. Because Krishna's name and Krishna are the same. There's no difference. So chant the holy names, but keep mind fixed on the sound vibration. It's difficult. It's very difficult to keep the mind fixed. Therefore, the process is to practice. To practice, practice, practice. And that's what Krishna told Arjuna. You practice the program. Kirtan, when we're in kirtan, it's somewhat easier to keep the mind focused in chanting and dancing. But when we're doing japa, when we're sitting down performing meditation on the holy names of the Lord, then the mind has a tendency to go in different places. It's called chanchala, it's restless. It thinks about what's going to happen tomorrow, what happened yesterday, like that. Or it has so many ways. You know, you ever notice when you try to control the mind, that's the time it becomes the most difficult to control? When you don't try to control it, you can't even tell it's uncontrolled. It's when you try to control it, because it doesn't like to be controlled. The mind likes to do what it wants. Therefore, it's almost like a separate person. Actually, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati used to say, Your mind is a non-devotee. So we're not supposed to associate with non-devotees. And therefore, we have to make our mind a devotee in order to associate with our mind. Therefore, it's a practice. So therefore, one has to practice regularly chanting the holy names of the Lord. Then, in the third verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Tayoriva Suhishnuna Amaninam Amanadena Kirtaniya Siddharahi. So Lord Chaitanya, first he gives the seven benedictions, then he gives all the recommendations that there is no requirements, but still he says it's difficult because of offenses, because of inattention. But he then, in the third verse, he explains the process, how to keep the mind fixed. Practice these things: humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and giving respects to others. And then he explains kirtaniya siddha. Siddha means always. When one practices the process of developing these qualities, because the qualities of a Vaishnava, such as humility, tolerance, and pridelessness, are conducive to chanting the holy names of the Lord. And without practicing these qualities, one cannot, what we say, remain fixed in chanting the holy name. So in the third verse, he actually gives the formula for the practice, how to practice devotional service, to remain humble. What is humility? We can speak about humility. What is actually the definition of humility? Humility actually means to become dependent on the Supreme Lord in all situations. If one is thinking one can do something, then one is in a, what we say, in, what's the word? Their consciousness is in a wrong state of existence. One has to depend on Krishna. That's why Prabhupada said, humility empowers one to do great things. Why? Because it opens up one to the mercy and to the, what we say, facilities that the Lord gives. The Lord will pour his mercy into someone who is humble. Humble means one doesn't think themselves great. In the material world, people want to be great, and they try to be great, and they do it in various ways. Therefore, there's always competition between so many great people, apparently, right? And therefore, that is called, you know, hard struggle for existence. But one who is practicing spiritual life, they know that simply by depending on the Lord in all situations, that is the success. So therefore, that humility means not to think oneself great, but to think that God is great and to think oneself as servant of the Lord. That is real humility. Prabhupada used to say, that's another example he used to use. Yeah, not wanting distinction, not wanting honor from others. The Bhagavad Gita explains that one who is humble doesn't look for honor, distinction, what we say, praise, or so many other things. In this world, people like to do things so they can get honored by others. And getting honored by others, the ego becomes satisfied, apparently satisfied. People mistakenly think, that honor, prestige, position, and all kinds of acolytes that come with this is a source of happiness. But actually, you see, actually, people who have achieved that kind of success in life are the most miserable people in the world. We were just in, I've been mentioning this everywhere I go. I was just in Sridhar Mayapur a few weeks ago. And we were inaugurating the 500th anniversary celebration for the sannyas initiation of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas in the year 1510. So it's 500 years this year. So there's big celebrations going on everywhere. So on Makara Sankranti, January 14th this year, we had a big inauguration festival in Sridhar Mayapur. And many guests, important people, came. And one such person was Miss India. She came, Miss India. She was the most beautiful lady in India. I guess, I don't know how they describe it. But she has many good qualities, not only physical beauty, but intelligence, also many other qualities. She came. And she was somewhat, she's become interested in Krishna consciousness directly. She was preached to by some of our sannyasis when she was in Delhi, and she liked the preaching, and she started chanting Hare Krishna. So she's chanting two rounds a day, and she wants to do more. And she spoke very nicely. She spoke how having this position of Miss India really is really nothing. It doesn't really satisfy. Now that she's come in contact with Krishna consciousness, she's chanting, she's understood this is really what she's been looking for. And she said, I associate with so many worldly people. She has opportunities to associate with some of the big Bollywood stars and so many things. And she says they're all miserable. She said they have their Lexus cars and they have their Rolls Royces, but they also have big problems. So they look good on television, but behind the scenes is a whole different story. That's the nature of material, you know. Success, it just brings a lot of problems with it, you know. And then if you're in success, you're always in anxiety of somebody, if your success is going to go someday. It's just a miserable life. So she was saying that she's not interested in all this anymore. So now she wants to become Krishna conscious. So here's an example of someone who has made it materially, but at the same time understands what is the real value of life. So to be humble really means to be a servant of the Lord, to see oneself as servant of the Lord, and to be happy in serving the Lord and the Lord's devotees. A devotee who is humble is always happy. You'd ask them to clean the floor, they're happy. You ask them to do another service, whatever service they do, they're happy. Because it's not so much the service, it's that they're humbly doing whatever they're doing for the pleasure of the Lord and for the satisfaction of the devotees. It doesn't matter. So a devotee is always happy in every situation when they're humble. So humility is the first principle in order to approach Krishna in the holy name. One has to be humble. Somebody said, humility means not to think oneself less, but to think of oneself less. Is that the way it goes? No way. Humility means not to think less of oneself, but to think oneself less. A person who is not humble is always thinking, me, 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 me. Well, a person who's humble is always thinking thee, thinking more about God instead of thinking about themselves so much. Tolerance, next principle. Tolerance. Tolerance is a principle of life. Without being tolerant, one cannot live. But how tolerant, Lord Chaitanya said in this verse, is one should be tolerant like a tree. A tree has to undergo so many, what we say, miseries. A tree has to stand in the hot sun during the summertime. And then sometimes in the cold weather and cold countries, it has to stand in the cold. So it has to undergo difficulties. Birds nest in the tree. And sometimes a hunter will sit underneath the tree and take the fruits of the tree, and then he'll chop the tree down. So Lord Chaitanya said to be tolerant means to be tolerant, more tolerant than the tree. So tolerance is a feature of life, and one has to practice tolerance. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others. How can we respect others when sometimes people are not respectable? when we see within the heart of every living entity, Krishna's there. That is the way to respect others. Krishna's in the heart of everyone. So when you offend or mistreat someone, you're actually mistreating God within the heart of that person. So to give respect to others is actually a feature of chanting the holy names of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya said, here's the way to approach the holy name. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and giving respects. And then he says, Kirtaniya Sadarahi. Then one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. If one is practicing these four principles. Otherwise, if we're not practicing, it becomes very difficult to continuously chant the holy names. Because the holy name is Krishna, and he will sit upon the heart of those who are cultivating the proper mood like that. Of course, people chant for different reasons, and any chanting is considered to be. There's some benefit, but the real chanting is when one cultivates these qualities, not separately, but in relationship to devotional service. And then the fourth verse, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye Manma Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavatad Bhakti Rahai Tuki Toyi. Lord Chaitanya says, I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want, what we say, the pleasures of the opposite sex. I don't want to be known as a great authority of Vedic knowledge. I don't even want liberation. What do I want? Janmani janmani ishvare bhavatad bhakti ahoi tukita. He says, I want devotional service birth after birth. So from practicing the third verse, humility, one comes to the stage of rejecting everything material. It comes natural. In the material world, people want these things. Wealth, followers, pleasures of the opposite sex, prestige because of great, what we say, educational acumens, knowing so much about so many things. And they also want to be free from material miseries. Lord Chaitanya says, chant the holy names of the Lord, and one doesn't even desire any of these things. How is it possible not to want any of these things? These things are so, what we say, sought after by everyone. But that is the power of the holy name, that by the tasting of the holy name, one loses attraction for these mundane things. So therefore, be careful. This Krishna conscious movement is dangerous. It'll destroy all your plans for material happiness. I'm sorry to say that, but it does. It gives you a higher taste, gives you spiritual happiness. Therefore, you know, people want so many things. To have wealth. Wealth is what we might say is a facility to enjoy. Followers, to be praised, to have people, you know, chanting your glories. Sometimes it says that a person who has no good qualities will become educated in order to get followers. Study so many books, get so many PhDs, just so they can have some kind of recognition in the world. So this is material life. And of course, the pleasures of the opposite sex, the whole material world evolves, revolves, and even devolves around this principle of, you know, attraction to the opposite sex, which is the fundamental existence of material energy. What is that verse from the Pumsam Striya Matuna Bhavametam? That the attraction for male and female is the basic principle of material existence. It's the basic principle. It's the fundamental principle. So one loses that attraction by chanting the holy names. You sure you want to chant now? You sure? Okay. It's dangerous. There's nothing, you lose that. Wow, Hari Bo. So, one thing after another goes by chanting the holy name. What's left? I don't even mind coming back again in this material world as long as I can be your devotee. Srila Haridas Thakur, when he was asked by Lord Chaitanya to take a benediction, he said, "My only benediction, my Lord, is life after life. Let me be born in the house of your devotee so I can get the remnants of their foodstuffs. That's my only prayer." What a kind of prayer is that? Just asking for the remnants of the Lord's devotees. The taste of the chanting of he was Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. He was chanting 333,333 names of God every day, 192 rounds a day. Imagine that kind of chanting. He would chant 100,000 names silently in his mind, 100,000 names softly, and 100,000 names very, very loudly. He would chant over 300,000 names every day. And when he was asked for a benediction, he said, "Wherever I am, just let me get the remnants of your devotees. Chant the holy names of the Lord." That's all. The holy name is everything. And when we're convinced that the holy name is everything, and we engage in devotional service and chant the holy names, then Krishna, through that faith, because when we chant with faith, it's different than chanting simply by duty. When we chant with love, it's simply different than chanting with just because we're supposed to. So therefore, we can develop that taste, that eagerness. And quantity builds quality. Quantity builds quality. What does that mean? The more you chant, the better your rounds will get. Sometimes we say, you make a vow, chant so many rounds per day. And Lord Chaitanya, he used to count his rounds too. Although he was the Supreme Lord, he still followed the principles of keeping count. He would keep a counter. He would count on his fingers. He would keep count. So one should take a numerical vow. But numerical vow means what? Minimum. Not maximum. If you're chanting five rounds a day as minimum, then you can chant 10 and still, you know, you can still chant 10. It doesn't mean you have to follow your numerical vow as maximum. Just like those who have taken initiation, we chant 16 rounds minimum, not maximum. Because the holy name is meant to inspire you to chant more and more. That's all. You become Krishna addicted. You just chant the holy names. In Bengal, they have a saying. The ladies have a saying. Hate koro kaje mukhe bolo hori. Hate koro kaje. Is that right, Bengali? I don't know. Yeah, hate koro kaje mukhe bolo hori. That means that one should work with their hands and chant Hare Krishna. That means whatever, even while you're working, doing laundry or cooking or driving, you can chant Hare Krishna. There's no hard, as Lord Chaitanya says, there's no hard and fast rules. One can chant any time, any place, anywhere. So the holy name is readily available. Therefore, the prayer is that I don't even mind coming back again in another birth if I can be your devotee somewhere and chant the holy names and get the association of your devotees and be your servant. So the holy name is so, what we say, complete that one doesn't even aspire for liberation. Janmani, janmani, ishvare, bhavatad bhakti, ahoitu. I don't even want liberation. I don't care. There's one group of spiritualists, they say this prayer, nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam, va jagadishakamye. That's all they say. They don't say the second half. Manma janmani janmani. I'll do it one life, that's all. But Lord Chaitanya said, life after life, wherever I am, let me associate with your devotees and chant the holy names. Even liberation doesn't seem to be desirable by one who is tasting the happiness of the holy name. And the next verse, nam, what is it? Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavam buddha kripaya tavapara pankajastita duli sadrisham michaja. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is praying, O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servant. Somehow or other, I fall into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. He's praying for devotional service. Somehow or other, I've fallen into this ocean. I don't know how I got here, but I'm here, and I'm drowning in the illusion of material enjoyment. Please pick me up and place me at the atoms of your lotus feet. Lord Prabhupada says, when we're chanting the holy names, we should be thinking in terms of this verse, because this is attentive chanting. This is the prayer of chanting. Please, my Lord, give me the opportunity to chant your holy names. Begging for the name. Not like, oh, I'm just chanting. The holy name is Krishna. Therefore, we have to really show Krishna we want Krishna. So therefore, it becomes like almost like desperation. When the heart becomes calling for the mercy of the Lord in the form of the holy name, the soul is actually reaching for the Lord's mercy, begging. It's just like the lotus flower is waiting for the sunshine to come so it can open up. Otherwise, the lotus remains closed. It's the same way our life remains incomplete until Krishna's mercy comes in the form of the holy name. So chant the holy names of the Lord. One can chant 24 hours a day, in any time, any place, anywhere. Prabhupada used to say, 16 rounds on beads, innumerable rounds off the beads. That means you can chant anywhere, any place, any time. When you're walking, when you're, you know, Prabhupada said, if a drunkard is taking his drink, he can chant Hare Krishna. Of course, we don't recommend you do that, but for those who are doing that, they get a higher taste. Anyway, chant the holy names. Chant, chant, chant. Can't. No time. I got too many things to do, too many places to go, too many unfulfilled desires. Therefore, we fall into this ocean of material. It's like an ocean. You can't see where it begins, you can't see where it ends. To fall into the material world, no one can trace out their existence. When did we come to this material world? How long have we been here? This is not our first life. We've been here for, it says, innumerable lives. It says one falls from the spiritual world as Lord Brahma and then stays in the material world for countless lives, for millions of lives, and goes through all the different species of life. When Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Germany in 1974 to one university, some students were there. Prabhupada began his lecture. He said, each of you have been through 8 million species of life. Now you've come to the human form. We cannot trace out the fact that we have been, all different species. Sometimes you see an insect and you say, oh, what a nasty insect. But you were one of them too, one time. Yeah, it's like we've been into these, whatever, in so many different species of life. Insects, creepers, plants, trees, aquatics, birds, beasts, so many things, reptiles. Now the soul has finally reached the human form of life. And then it's reached an advanced form of human form. To take birth in India means high birth, means good birth, means Sukriti, means a great opportunity for spiritual perfection. So coming this far on the evolutionary scale, what is the next stage? not to chase after the West and try to get, you know, material enjoyment again. That would be a travesty of existence. Now is to finish up our what we say, our sojourn in this material world, and to go back home, back to Godhead. You might say, well, what is it like back there? I don't remember. You know, we talk about the spiritual world. What is the spiritual world? Is it worth going to? We hear so many things. It's the place that everyone should go for. But what is the spiritual world? We know Krishna's there, but what do you do? You just sit around and say, all glories to God all day, you know. What's the spiritual life? The soul, in its natural constitutional position of the spiritual existence, is fully experiencing its own existence of eternality, happiness, and full knowledge. And there's variety in the spiritual world, just like there is variety here. We see there's various types of activities here. And the scriptures say, and the acharyas confirm it, that the varieties in the material world are simply a reflection of the varieties in the spiritual world. The only difference is that spiritual varieties do not have deficiencies. They're all perfect and full of knowledge and full of bliss. And there's adventure in the spiritual world. The gopis are making plans for Radha and Krishna to enjoy. But sometimes there's competition, there's intrigue, there's sometimes disappointment. There's all the excitement that people look for in the material world is found in the spiritual world in its perfection. That's all described in the scriptures. So the spiritual world is our home. What we are here now as a small flash of existence simply due to some mistake. What was that mistake? One can never understand how we came to this material world until you go back to the spiritual world. Then one will be understanding. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, when one comes back to the spiritual world, they don't come back to the material world again. Does that mean you can't come back? You can if you want to, but you won't want to. It's like Prabhupada used the example. Once you put your hand in the fire and it gets burnt, you're careful not to do it again, nor will you do it voluntarily. So in the same way, one will not want to come back to the material world again, knowing of the suffering that one went through. And what is our suffering in this world? It's simply a dream, that's all. We're in a dream state. We're thinking I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm American, I'm an Indian, I'm whatever I am. I'm old, I'm young, I think. These are all what we say temporary designations of material existence that are subject to time. That's all. And they'll come and go. Right now we're in the middle of it. It's like being in the middle of a dream. We're asleep and in that dream state. We're having this dream that I'm something like this, and we call that identity and activity. But when we wake up means spiritual realization or self-realization. We wake up, we realize that this whole sojourn in this material world is simply a bad dream, that's all. That's all it is. Because we are Krishna's part and parcel eternally. Eternally, and we can never be separated from Krishna. That's the point. The soul is never separated from Krishna. It's only we've forgotten that relationship, so forgetfulness doesn't make it separate. It just makes us unaware of the relationship, that's all. When you forget something, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You know, just like there's one bird who sticks his head in the ground. Is it called ostrich? And he thinks there's nothing above. But everything exists above. He can't see it because his head's in the ground. It's like we're in this room now, so we can see this room, but we can't see what's going on outside. So we might say, there's nothing going outside because all I can see is what's here. But if you go outside, you'll see there's other things going on. So in the same way, our existence and our relationship with Krishna is always there. It's never lost, but it's just forgotten. So through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's the alarm clock. It's the way to wake up. And the more we chant, the more that, what we say, that consciousness of material life starts to dissipate and eventually dissolve. Through the process of bhakti, beginning with the chanting of the holy names. What is that verse from the... It's spoken by Yamaraj. He says, devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, is the highest activity within human society. So devotional service is the constitutional nature of the living being, and the chanting of the holy name is the essence of devotional service. So when you speak about chanting, you're speaking of the essence of the essence. Although it's so simple, so easily, so sublime, and so readily available, still it's so powerful. It's very powerful, the chanting of the holy names. And so Lord Chaitanya says that I've fallen into this ocean of material suffering, and somehow or other, please pick me up. So when we're chanting the holy names, we're actually asking Krishna, please pick me up. Please get me out of this consciousness. Get me out of this illusion, that's all. Get me out of this bodily concept of life. What is the illusion? The bodily concept of life. I am this body, and things in relationship to this body are mine. Things in this relationship to this body are either mind or I. I am, this is mind. Two concepts of material existence. I and my principle. I am, mine, this is mine. Aham mameti. Nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to the person who created it. And we belong to that same person, Krishna. So the holy name brings about that awareness again. It brings about that awareness. To experience something, one has to actually practice it. And the practice gives the experience. Theory and concept and principles do not satisfy the heart. Therefore, one has to seriously practice the chanting of the holy name and engage in devotional service to the Lord. Like that. So Lord Chaitanya goes on. After this verse, he says, Ayinanda tunuja king... No, what's the next one? Nayanam gladarasradaraya vadanam gadgara ruthaya gira pulakaya nichitam papukada tavana mahagramhe bravishyati. The sixth verse, he says, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up in ecstasy? And when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your holy name? He's praying, I'm chanting, but I'm not feeling the ecstasy. When will I come to that point of ecstatic loving devotion like that? Because when tears fill the eyes when chanting the holy name, it's a sign that the heart has become soft. And when the heart has become soft, then the happiness of devotional service begins like that. The heart has become soft. And then the next verse he says, Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. He speaks of Govinda. He's praying, my dear Lord, a moment is like 12 years. The separation from you is like unlimited ocean of time. Each moment is like 12 years or more. This is an experience of devotional ecstasy. One is feeling the separation from the Lord as each moment is like 12 years. These are very high principles of spiritual ecstasy as explained by Lord Chaitanya. And in the last verse, he says, Alishyava pinaratam punastumam adarshanam marmahatam katro tuva tata tata va viradatu lampato madpranam nastu se eva na pudaha. In the mood of Radharani's love for Krishna, he's speaking. He's saying, Krishna, you can do whatever you want. You can break me. You can be there for me. You can make me, you can not be there. You can do whatever you want. Still, I don't lose my devotion for you. This is pure love. The last verse explains what is the highest stage of love, that no matter what Krishna does, the living entity still remains in loving devotion to Krishna. So these are the eight verses by Lord Chaitanya. So if we study these eight verses, it's recommended that we recite these eight verses daily before we chant the holy names of the Lord, because they prepare one for the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is a nice practice that devotees have been doing, and it's recommended. Chant these eight verses every day, and then chant your holy names, because the holy name is like a fish, and these eight verses are like the water. So the fish likes to swim in the water, just like these. When these eight verses are actually the devotional service where the holy name exists within these eight verses, like that. So this is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So when we speak of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we have to speak of the ultimate principle of mercy. No other incarnation of the Lord has made the process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord so readily available and so easy. But it requires one thing, faith. Faith. Without faith, it doesn't work. Lord Nityananda, he is the agent. He's actually a merchant. He's a businessman. And he's selling the holy name for a price. He set up his shops in different places around the world, and he's hired his men to maintain the stores. He's got a business. And you go there, and there's one item for sale, the holy name. And you come and you say, give me the holy name. They say, how much do you want? They say, well, give me 500 rupees worth of the holy name. And so he'll give you that much. And if you want 1,000 rupees, you can get that much. But actually, the currency is not money. What is the currency? Faith. So when we have full faith, then we can get the full mercy. So faith means that despite the difficulties, despite either the chanting may be dry sometimes, still we go on chanting, trying to perfect our chanting, calling out to Krishna in his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Hare. Then with that mood of devotion, with that faith, the Lord is ready to, you know, give as much as we can handle. Mm-hmm. He'll pour into us as much as... That's Lord Chaitanya. He says, here, take more, take more, take more, take more, take more. It's unlimited. Just take more. So we honor Lord Chaitanya as the Yuga Avatar for his mercy to come to teach us the process of bhakti in this age and to give us the means for self-realization, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Thank you. Do we have time for questions? Are there any questions? Question. Microphone. Question.
Namaskar, Maharaj. Thank you very much for the wonderful class. Maharaj, you said in the morning also and now also that we should have absorption in our devotional service. But we see that like hearing lectures, in hearing we should have absorption. But in hearing lectures, there are many points which are made. Like, but the points which are simple, so that we can understand and that we can absorb. But there are other points that we cannot understand at this level. For example, we cannot we can understand that the points related to that we are not the body, we are the soul. But the points like you should put yourself in the last and other devotees first. You should always be more humble than a blade of grass. So these points are very difficult to comprehend at this level. So the absorption just does not come. So one tends to listen from one ear and take out from the other. So then how can absorption come?
Absorption in the higher points?
Yes, Maharaj.
Practice. It's practice. Humility is the feature of the soul. The soul is humble. So to be humble is not what we say contrary to your nature. It's your nature to be humble. To be proud, to be arrogant, and to be what we say puffed up is artificial. To be humble is natural. That's the nature of the soul. Bhagavad Gita describes the principles of knowledge, and the first knowledge, the first principles is amanitam, which is humility. The second one is anambitvam, which is pridelessness. So these things are natural. When you practice humility, you're actually practicing to be who you are. That's all. So one may not come to the stage immediately, but one should practice immediately. Okay, I don't feel like it, but because I don't feel like it doesn't mean I don't do it. If you wait for feelings to come, you won't do things, or you'll do things only on feeling. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya teaches that we should practice the principle of humility. And as we practice, that quality will come, because it's there. It's not like you have to kind of learn it. You have to learn how to bring it out, that's all. Prabhupada told a whole story based on this principle, you know, how one devotee was feeling very proud, and Prabhupada gave a whole story and to show how small we actually are in relationship to existence. We're small. Jiva means tiny. So how many jivas are there? There's unlimited jiva. So we are one amongst, you know, so many unlimited numbers of jivas, and we're thinking, I'm great, I'm important. What an illusion. It's the greatest illusion. So we might be able to do something, but even doing anything is based on Krishna's mercy. Humility, if you analyze the principles of humility, you find that whatever you can do is simply coming by the grace of the Lord or the grace of the Lord's devotees. Whatever qualities you may have developed is also coming from the Lord too. You may have developed them, but only when He's pleased do you actually get them. Ultimately, Krishna says in the Gita that you can try to do so many things, but only when He's pleased then things actually happen. So humility means to realize our position, that's all. To put other people first and to put ourselves last. What does that mean? That Krishna is pleased by that. It means to serve others, that's what it means. It doesn't mean to just to think yourself, useless. It means to actually serve others. The principle of life is to serve God and to serve God's energies in the form of His parts and parcels, His devotees and others. There's three ways to serve. You serve people who are more elevated by rendering personal service and by hearing from them. You serve equals by developing friendship and sharing Krishna consciousness. And people are in a lesser position. You serve them by preaching to them and giving them opportunities to come to Krishna consciousness. So in all relationships, in all levels of relationship, you're always in the mood of service. Whether someone is better or greater or lesser than you, you're always your position is to serve accordingly. Not like you can't always serve in the same way to all categories of people. You have to serve according to what is the best way to serve. And the scriptures give us an understanding. So we don't have to worry about this or that. All we have to do is try to be a good servant in all situations. That's all. And to be a good servant means to be yourself. That's who you are. We're just servants. Ekala Isha Krishna Asabrita. There's only one master. Everyone else is servant. And we gain the mercy of the Lord when we put ourselves in the position of being a servant. We try to serve the best we can. And we try to serve to please in the best we can. And so Krishna sees your effort, not so much the results. If you're trying, then that's pleasing. If you're trying your best, that's all. When you attainment to perfection may take some time, but you should start now. It's not like you should start when you feel like it, because the feeling may come or it may not come. We start now. Practice, that's all. Krishna consciousness is practice. And those points that are beyond your realization will become easily realized. Just like the ones you're realizing now may have been beyond your realization before. But now you realize them, so you can also go higher. Any other questions? Yes. Is that a question or a camera? Oh, okay. Okay. There's a microphone is on the way back there. The microphone's coming.
Hare Krishna.
Haribo.
Yeah, actually I have got one question. It's regarding that importance of aura.
Aura.
A-U-R-A. So, aura. Aura. Ah. So, importance of aura in spiritual life. In spiritual life. If like I'm a questioner, I'm questioning you. And a devotee, how can he reach to that stage? Then he can recognize the aura of a person. So he will have the idea that now he is going on the right path. Like there are so many things in the religious life. Like say one is telling this life is good, Krishna consciousness is good. Others telling is Shiva consciousness is good. So how can you recognize the, means how can you differentiate or
how can you differentiate a person's spiritual advancement? I guess aura means one's spiritual advancement or development. By how much they are dedicated to service, how much they're serving the Lord. Sir, Krishna sees your service. How much you want, our jivaya surupoi nitya krishna das. Nitya siddha krishna prema saru kabunoi sravari siddhi chitti kodiye hudoi. We are eternally Krishna's eternal servant. And to act in that position of servant means to come back to our natural position. And how much we're absorbed in that is how much we are advanced in spiritual life. Advancement comes by, it's not so much by how much knowledge you have, it's by how much devotion. And devotion comes by way of service. Service that is under the guise of Krishna's directors or the spiritual teachers. So if we're the perfection is to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. lot of times people want to serve the Lord, but they want to serve for their pleasure. That is okay, but it's not the actual goal. The goal is to serve the Lord for the Lord's pleasure. So the spiritual master teaches us how to serve the Lord for the Lord's pleasure. The more one becomes absorbed in that activity of serving the Lord for the Lord's pleasure, the more one is advanced. Because through that service, knowledge comes. Through that service, purification of the heart comes. Through that service, material miseries come. And through that service, your aura gets brighter. In other words, you become, what we say, you light up. Your soul is becoming, what we say, illuminated through that. So that is the process, how much we absorbed in service. Because that's who we are. Right now, we're serving other things, and therefore we're outside of our constitutional position. So you can estimate a person's, what we say, spiritual acumen or aura by how much they're actually absorbed in serving the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord. Microphone? Okay.
Yeah, same. Actually, one more question was there. Just 2 days before yesterday, I was just having some lecture on this one TV lecture was going on. And some lady was lecturing on the our Vedic culture. Vedic culture. And she was telling that every human being is having three type of quotients. One is intelligent quotient. Second is EQ, emotional quotient, and third one is spiritual quotient. So
emotional, spiritual, and emotional, spiritual, intellectual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Emotional, and last one she was telling the
spiritual.
Spiritual quotient. Mm-hmm. So how a devotee can go through all these things? First, intelligent quotients. I think it comes through your wisdom. And then emotional and spiritual quotient, how you can go towards that direction. You will have that quotient, so you can recognize the God, and you will have all the ideas. Okay, this is the first checkpoint, the quality control is over, the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and the maybe the infinitive, and the hundredth one will be the quality assurance, as I work like for a quality management system. So in that way, I'm asking you for that question.
Well, everyone's asking questions. The Bhagavatam speaks about questions and answers. People go to the marketplaces, and what is the price of this? And the answer is, this has cost this much. How much does it cost to get into this university? This much. What do I have to do to get this girl? This much. You know? These kind of questions, you know. Questions and answers, questions and answers. But it says, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. In the human form of life, once you're now inquiring into what is one's relationship with the Supreme, that is the real question. So those questions come in the form of, who am I? That's the first question. The second is, what is the purpose of life? Another question is, why do I have to get old and die? Another question is, who is God? And what is my relationship with God? These are real questions. These are both intelligent and spiritual questions. Because an intelligent question leads one to one's, what we say, ultimate benefit. If it doesn't lead to a benefit, then there's no real value in that question. So these are real questions. And Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the best of all scriptures, explains that this is the beginning of spiritual life when you inquire into the nature of Brahman or the nature of spirit. People are asking so many questions. Until they come to these questions, then human life actually begins. These are the questions that actually bring about real benefit. Why? Because once we enter into the spiritual realm, we enter into the eternal existence. Material questions may be required in order to function in this world, but they're not going to bring real happiness. they're not going to bring progress. They're going to bring some necessity, that's all. Real question is, who am I? If you know who you are, then the second question is, what do I do? If you think you're this body, then you act on the body. If you think you're the soul, then you act on the soul. So the first question is, who am I? And the scriptures say, in Jivar Surupai, Nitya Krishna Das, all living beings are eternal parts and parcels of the Lord. And their duty is to love and serve the Lord. That is our main duty. That is the purpose of human life. There is no second purpose. That is an intelligent question also. Is that okay? Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Microphone.
Maharaj, we are talking about regulative principles in the morning.
Negative so, response?
Regulative principles.
Regulative principles.
So, my question is why we are getting attracted towards sinful activities? And very mystical it is that we find joy in them. And many of the times, not in a gross way, but at least in a subtle way, we are getting attracted.
Yeah.
And many of the times we mentally fall down.
Yeah.
So how to, you know, get out of that?
The question is, why do we get attracted to, you know, sinful activities, sometimes not on a gross level, but on a subtle level, on the mental level? Because we've been associated with these things. Material existence means to associate with these activities, life after life after life. They still remain within the mind, they still remain within the soul due to our association. So they still come to the consciousness. The living entity is a pleasure-seeking being. Therefore, when we're not experiencing pleasure, spiritual pleasure, sometimes the mind will gravitate naturally, what we say involuntarily, to these other things. Sometimes it's a fantasy, and sometimes it's an infatuation, or sometimes it's an actual real desire, you know. It's just the association. Therefore, chanting the holy name purifies the mind and heart, where these thoughts, even these thoughts, start to go. But one thing I should mention, in Kali Yuga, this age is so bad that the atmosphere is, what we say, permeated with these activities. So even people who are practicing spiritual life seriously sometimes will be, what we say, attacked by these thoughts, because it's so much prominent in Kali Yuga. And the atmosphere is very polluted. So when you come into the temple, the atmosphere is nice, it's light, it's uplifting. When you go outside, that energy is there again, you know. So when it comes, the question is, when it comes, what are you going to do with it? If you think about it, or even if you think about it in a negative way, you feed it. And if you feed it, it grows. So the thing is, when they come, just dismiss it. That's all. Recognize it and dismiss it. Don't try to look at it from all different angles and say, ooh, how horrible this is. This is really horrible. But yes, really horrible. And you just keep going over how horrible it is. And then it gets bigger and bigger. Therefore, you have to somehow push it out as soon as it comes. That's why the holy name is always there. You can immediately push it out as soon as it appears. Hare Krishna. When it comes, it's Hare Krishna. Drive it out. That's all. Don't be sentimental when it comes to your mind. Your mind's like a naughty child. You have to punish it sometimes by not letting it do what it wants to do. So one can chant the holy names always. And if you're practicing chanting, then your mind won't go onto these thoughts. And if, even if it does, you're automatically you'll come back quickly because of the practice of the holy name. I know we have to think about other things. We have school, we have business, and so many things. But just be always on guard against the thoughts of the mind. Thinking, feeling, willing. That's psychology 101. Think of something, you get a feeling for it, and then you get a desire to do it. So as soon as the thoughts come, kill it at the thinking stage. If you get the if it comes to the feeling stage, it grows. Stop it at the, don't let it get to the second stage. Just stop it at the thought stage. Replace it with a spiritual thought. And, so. And after some time, they'll become less and less and less like that. And finally, they'll go. Okay, anyone else? Any other questions? Yes, Dr. Rao, Hare Krishna. So much emphasis on chanting and not enough emphasis on?
More seminars have kept for chanting, not on
sankirtan. Use the microphone.
We always see chanting is told by many people. Many seminars have there, many sannyasis, many brahmacharis stress on chanting. But always we see we go mad when we are doing sankirtan rather than chanting. Why it is so?
Why don't we jump up and down when we're doing japa? We can if you're having that. You can. Sometimes japa is like that. You want to dance while you're chanting, but because it's not socially acceptable, you kind of restrain yourself. You can get ecstasy of chanting japa too. But because of the volume of sound and because of the enthusiasm of everyone, the Harinam Sankirtan is much more, what we say, immediate. But you see, as explained by the scripture, one feeds the other. Through good japa, we have nice kirtan. And through nice kirtan, it helps us to have nice japa. So one is working to feed the other like that. But japa means more like subdued. The mind is more or less, when one is chanting nicely japa, the mind is feeling great pleasure. And sometimes you even want to dance too when you're doing japa. Sometimes that happens, but sometimes we restrain it because people think, what is he doing? What is she doing? Dancing during japa. This is not... So it's not so much done, but there's pleasure in japa also, great pleasure. But kirtan, you can expect, because there's such volume, such enthusiasm, it's Lord Chaitanya's method. Krishna varna tvasa krishna sangopanga saparshadam yagnai sankirtanai prayai yujanti hi samed. Sankirtan. San means together, and kirtan means to glorify the Lord together, like that. San also means complete. Sankirtan means the complete way to glorify the Lord, or the most perfect way to glorify the Lord is to chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Ram, Hare, Ram. You want to make Lord Chaitanya happy? Just have kirtan. He becomes happy. Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya will dance with you. Any other questions? Okay, so we can stop here. Thank you very much. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Nityananda Ram ki, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ji ki, Gaura Premanande Hare Hare Bol.